Good morning, 740 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. We have Sheriff Chip Simmons with us here in studio. Woo! Sheriff, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I mean, I was off last week and nothing happened. Oh my God. Like, a number of things that have happened are just unbelievable. This Home Depot murder, and the text messages, and the mom, and oh my God. I don't even know where to start on this story, because reading, you know, it's one thing to kind of hear about this allegation and, you know, but I read the text message thread that WEAR had, and I thought, good Lord. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that if you take it from the beginning, the information that we get initially is an active shooter. So now we're thinking, no, there's no way. So we're heading that way, and we get the scene secured. Sure enough, there is a female that was deceased, obviously deceased inside the store. Two others were injured with gunfire, and they were already being transported by themselves to the hospital. So we had to clear the building. We don't know who's in there. So as we're getting the information, getting the video to our deputies and to assisting agencies, Pensacola Police Department and the Florida Highway Patrol, the killer decides that, I'm sorry, I should say alleged killer. Anyways, the killer decides that he is going to give himself up, calls 911, we pick him up. So I'm back in my office, and they say, hey, we're doing some follow-up investigation, and he had an accomplice. I'm like, okay, I've heard that before, right? There's no doubt. Because we have to figure out how to get here, who gave him the gun, who does. We always do that type of follow-up. In this case, they said, no, you're not going to believe it's the mother. I said, the mother? Yeah, and the mother was there at the store. They're at the store. Why was she at the store? Well, the mother gave the victim a ride to the store, and then she helped her son with, I'm like, wait, start over again.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're reading. So what happened was the suspect had what I call a level of cooperation. We get a search warrant. We get the text messages from his phone.
That he did not delete, even though saying they would or whatever, but glad they didn't.
Well, you know, I'm just saying there's a level of cooperation on the suspect's part. And then we read what everyone now has read, and we put it in our social media post because we wanted people to see what we see. Because if we just say, oh, we arrest her, we think she's involved, and people say, oh my gosh, how's he involved? She had love of a mother. I can't believe it. This is what we see. This is what's in the affidavit. This is what is in the arrest report. This is what evil looks like.
I mean, egging him on and insulting him if he doesn't go through with
it.
And the most important concern to her was, don't catch me in the crossfire as you're shooting her.
Yeah, wait till she gets out. Or don't hurt my car.
Right.
Don't shoot my car up. It was pretty cut and dry. We obviously picked her up, I think Washington County, Alabama. And so she's back in our quaint little town, and she'll respond to the charges.
I know for him it's a capital charge, which carries the possibility of the death penalty.
Right.
Does that also carry for her too?
Yeah, I believe when you're a principal to the major crime that's possible. I find it hard to believe if you're not the one that pulled the trigger, but it is a first degree felony.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Ugh.
It's a murder charge.
Yeah, unbelievable. And then, of course, just yesterday we had a truly strange incident on Pine Forest. Was bad. Could have been far worse, but what happened?
The strange things just keep on coming in Escambia County. We have a long list of those things. But this case, yesterday morning, we had a call of a trespass, a simple trespassing call. A store owner wanted a woman that he claimed was acting erratic out of the store, Smartfield, I believe it is, on Pine Forest Road. So we start get our deputies en route, and as we're en route, we find out that they had moved the disturbance or the altercation outside. Then we find out that outside she pulls a gun from somewhere in her person and fires not once, not twice, but three times at the store owner. Fortunately, she misses him, but she then walks away. So we got the description as we get to the store of a female in a dress. So I think it's a blue dress, and our deputies are circulating, obviously, because now she's tried to shoot somebody.
Right.
That's a felony, and so and the deputy sees a woman fitting that description in the median, right in between Pine Forest Road, between northbound and southbound. cars, trucks flying by.
45 miles an hour on either side, right?
I've seen a body camera, so I'm pretty clear on what took place. So he's talking to her, and she's complaining about the store owner, but we can't get close enough to her to really to touch her and to put her under arrest. And she keeps walking away, backing away. You can tell she's a little leery. She wants to stay away. And as one of our marked cars comes
and
to
assist.
And
that's an awkward situation for you guys because it's traffic and you're in a car and you know she's been shooting a gun. It's just it logistically challenging, for
sure. Right, yeah. And he's probably waiting for the second deputy to get there that can stop her from getting into traffic or whatever.
Yep.
So the second deputy comes with a cars with his lights on. And as she sees the second deputy, she just takes off running. And as she's turning
down the median
to take off to run, well, she's from the median on the edge of the roadway, and then she runs into the road. And in between the two, looks like north or southbound lanes. I can't tell which one it was on the body camera.
Yeah.
And then you can see in her hand, there is a chrome handgun. And as she takes probably 4 to 5 steps, she puts it to her head and pulls the trigger. It's just crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
And then, you know, of course, I mean, that's its own tragedy, but then your officers have to deal with that, the stuff they see, the stuff they question, could we have done better? What could we? I mean, maybe the answer is nothing, but they still have to live with having encountered that, which, you know, we talk about all the time, the mental health challenges that your officers deal with.
I don't think people understand what the men and women of law enforcement, EMS, see every day.
Yeah.
Certainly law enforcement, because I'll speak for
right.
my profession, because they're there. They're typically the first ones there. They're the ones that are talking to an individual beforehand. And then to see this happen, and you can hear the reaction of the deputies, oh, my gosh, oh, my, you know.
Yeah.
That's it's pretty harsh. But, I mean, he has to then pry the gun from the woman's hand. And then the firefighters get there, Escambia County Fire and Rescue get there, and do a fantastic job, by the way. Fantastic job with treating of this lady there. They're all very kind, very, very supportive. It looks like she may have a gunshot wound to her cheek area, mm-hmm. and I don't know her condition right now. Certainly, we hope that she survives this ordeal. But it just goes to show you some of the crazy things that law enforcement and how quickly things can change.
Yeah.
You know, you think that you just got someone, you know, that's a trespasser. You come to find out that you know, she had shot somebody, then come to find out she has a gun, come to find out that she's, you know, she tries to take her own life.
We've had some others that were, you know, less atrocious, but still pretty weird. You had a stabbing at Mugs and Jugs, but the guy who got stabbed started it, and it was ruled self-defense by the knife holder. Do I have that right?
That's correct. We got to report the stabbing, and come to find out, as our investigators and uniformed deputies get there, we find out that the person that got stabbed was the person that started it, that attacked the other individual defending himself. Pulled a knife and stabbed him to, you know, to protect himself.
Yeah.
And you can do that here.
Right, you know? Right. You don't have to use a gun.
You don't have to use a gun. You don't have to. Yeah, you know, oh my gosh, he hit somebody. You can hit somebody that's hitting you. You can hit somebody that's attacking you. And quite frankly, if you feel your life is in danger, you can stab someone or shoot someone that is stabbing or shooting or trying to injure or kill you or another.
And no charges for the initial assailant either in this case?
Not yet. We're looking into it again. And I think that neither one wanted to press charges.
Okay.
Although we don't need that. We do take that into account whenever we're investigating. And plus, he got stabbed.
Yeah. So there was something right. Yeah. Then you had a strange one at Oakwood Terrace where the canine officer showed up and the canine officer actually wound up biting his handler. Is that right?
Yeah, what happened is we got a report of a domestic situation where an individual had a gun. I think he fired it or pointed a gun. I can't recall. And then he took off running. So our canine gets there to track him. Well, our canine does a good job, but because there's so many children and people around, the canine handler had the dog on the leash.
Okay.
He's on, a 6-foot leash. And when the dog sees the suspect, he wants to go and chase that suspect. That's what his job is.
Right.
You know, he's expected
he knows his
to
job.
Be, he's expected to be released because that's the suspect right in front of me. You know, you can almost read his mind. Dude, let me go. That's our guy.
Yeah.
The deputy, to his credit, decided it's not a good place to release the dog, and so he keeps the dog on the leash, and the dog gets upset, angry, and instinctively turns around and bites the deputy on the leg.
He's okay?
Yeah, the deputy's okay. He went to hospital just to get it treated, because as you can imagine, it's you know, a little dirty and had to be cleaned out. But he's walking around, maybe limping a little bit still. But again, you think, oh my gosh, well, how did that happen? And what happened, because our canine handlers are trained to evaluate the scene, to evaluate the situation, and not just let our dogs roam free and ultimately...
If you see the bad guy in a group, you don't just shoot him because you might miss. And if you see a bad guy in a group, you don't just release the dog because the dog might... You don't know for sure. I mean, you know what he's supposed to do, but, you know, and canine's going to be back to active service. This is not a problem for him to be able to continue as an officer.
The dog was due to be retired here in a couple months. So we went ahead and decided that dog can go ahead and retire.
Okay. Which makes sense, you know.
Yeah. Again, I think the important part here is that the canine handler used his judgment and decided not to let the dog loose.
Absolutely.
Because again, would the dog have gone after a suspect? I am certain. I have no doubt. However, there's always that chance, and in that environment with kids and everyone running around, they can be distracting to a dog, and I would hate for a child to be bit because, you know, a suspect decides he's going to run from law enforcement.
Lone bad guy in a field, no problem.
Absolutely.
Bad guy in the midst of a bunch of people, including kids, you know, you want to be safe.
Let's use our good judgment, and they did, and we have a fantastic canine unit. We really do. Lieutenant Biggs does a great job of training, and we're on top of all that.
And just, this is kind of the last one, but this goes back right before I was on vacation. It was actually 2 weeks ago, I think. But you had two people wind up getting killed in a drive-by on Patricia Drive. But in the response to that, you had a deputy driving to the scene got into an accident, if I remember this correctly. You're looking like I didn't.
We did have what I'll call a minor traffic accident in response to a shooting. I think one person got killed.
Yeah,
and one person got shot. I don't think.
But
there were
two to me,
kills.
what it reminded me of, and that's why I wanted to highlight it, is that, you know, when you see people with their lights on, get out of the road, get out of the way, and let them do their jobs. Right.
Well, we don't put our lights and sirens on for no reason. We do that only because, in fact, in our our policy is that to respond with lights and sirens, you now have to get permission from a supervisor, because a supervisor monitoring the radios, and what they'll say, for those of you who really care, is they'll say, you know, 1018, which is our with emergency response, and then the dispatcher will say, supervisor, are you aware of that?
Yeah.
And they'll say, go ahead and do that, because sometimes, you know, we can have three or four cars respond what we call emergency response 1018. But the rest of them, if you're going from coming from too far away, we don't need you to do that. So, we've come a long way.
You learned a lot.
In the 80s when I was there, when you had something going on, our whole plan was to get there as quickly as we possibly can. So we would do blue lights and sirens almost every time.
We'd get
there quickly.
Yes, appropriate response to the danger and to the resources needed to task to it. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff, as always, sir, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you again next week. Hopefully it's less eventful.
You bet. Y'all take care.